Welcome back to Calder Navigation, where each episode serves as a compass guiding you through the vibrant tapestry of Calderdale. I'm Samantha McCormick, your host and artistic director of Curious Motion. I'm delighted to present Season 2 as part of our Culturedale Commission, celebrating Calderdale's rich cultural heritage during the Year of Culture. In this season, we continue to champion the voices of our remarkable neighbours, celebrating their resilience, diversity, and the shared experiences that bind us together. From intimate conversations to profound revelations, each episode is an invitation to connect, reflect, and celebrate the human experience. Season 2 of Calder Navigation is not just a podcast, it's a celebration of community, culture, and the enduring spirit of Calderdale. Join us as we delve into the heart and soul of our community, exploring the myriad of stories that shape our shared experience. Today, we're bringing you a very special episode dedicated to showcasing the resilience and creativity of refugees and people seeking sanctuary. This week is Refugee Week, the world's largest arts and culture festival celebrating people seeking sanctuary. And today, Thursday the 20th of June, is World Refugee Day. The theme for Refugee Week this year is our home. And in their words, from the places we gather to share meals to our collective home, planet Earth, everyone is invited to celebrate what our home means to them. At Curious Motion, we stand in solidarity with all those affected by war, devastation, and conflict around the world. In this Refugee Week, we extend our deepest support and empathy to those who have been compelled to flee their homes in search of safety and refuge elsewhere. The podcast episode you are about to hear features the courageous voices of refugees currently living here in Calderdale. Through their poignant witness statements, they offer profound insights into their experiences of displacement, resilience, and hope. Their stories are a testament to the strength and resilience of the human spirit in the face of adversity. The people featured in this episode have all been part of St. Augustine Centre's creative writing group, facilitated by professional poet Claire Shaw and Northern Broadside's artistic director and CEO, Laurie Sanson. The group offers amazing opportunities for people seeking sanctuary in Calderdale to share their stories, have their voices heard, and unleash their creativity. Each of them has taken time to reflect on the theme of our home, and today they will share this with you. As listeners, we are invited to bear witness to their journeys, to listen with empathy and understanding, recognising the shared humanity that unites us all. Their stories serve as a powerful reminder of the urgent need for compassion, solidarity, and action in support of refugees worldwide. Thank you for joining us on this journey of listening, learning, and understanding. First up, we have Musa. Musa is from Syria, and he recently wrote a selection of short creative writing pieces called What If I Had a Homeland? Musa has also been working on performing his writing, and it is our absolute pleasure to share some of this with you today. Musa wanted to express his gratitude to everyone at St. Augustine's who has supported him, particularly Claire and Laurie with his writing, and to Eve for all of her support. You'll hear three of the pieces from What If I Had a Homeland today. Homeland is Everything for Me, Mountains, and A Letter to My Mother. Here he is.
Homeland is everything for me. A homeland believes in your principles, now and in the future. A homeland preserves your dignity and your personality, your work and your studies, society, and the people around you. What if I had a homeland to protect me and take care of me? Would I have left for another country? Would this have happened to me if I had a homeland that would give me the freedom I need? My homeland is terrifying. There are no human rights, no dignity, there is no security, no elections, no work, no water, no food, no future at all. Mountains. Those mountains were incredible, terrifying. Me and my brother wondered how we could get through. We used to climb the mountains every night and day to cross to other lands at night, we faced dangerous and ferocious animals. Bears, snakes, dogs, wolves. We could not sleep in these mountains. We used to drink dirty water, the water the animals drank. We tried to filter it through our clothes. Life in these mountains was difficult. We lived there for 10 days without anything to eat. We were like dead people. No one knew anything about us. The mountains are gigantic, deadly, terrifying. People can die between the mountains, nobody knowing anything about them. A letter to my mother. Today I am writing to my mom. My mom, I haven't seen her since 2017. I have enjoyed time with her. I haven't said to her, good morning, my mom. I haven't kissed her hands. I haven't stood with her on her birthday or Mother's Day. All I can say to my mom is be proud of your son. He is doing the best for you. I love you so much, my mom. Ending. I hope that when I finish my studies, I will get qualification and then open my own motor vehicle business. Then I will travel to my wonderful family and then we will all sit together at a dinner table. I wish I had the opportunities that my friend have so that I could study. My friends have many opportunities, but they don't feel it. We must know the value of things. We should know the important things in this life. If somebody helps you out with anything, make sure you help him. You help them back. Life is like a tire. If things come back around to you. I come from a country that has lived through 12 years of war. Occupation, destruction, hypocrisy, humiliation, rape and massacre. My name is Musa. I am 20 years old. I come from Syria.
Next, I'm delighted to introduce you to Hazel. Hazel is a transgender activist, humanitarian and intersectional feminist. She is passionate about supporting those whose voices are not heard, and she's an aspiring law student. Here she is to tell us more. Welcome, Hazel. Lovely to have you here. Thank you for having a chat with me.
Thank you for having me. I feel so honoured.
Well, I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Me too.
So as you know, this episode is themed around home for Refugee Week, and I've been chatting to other people about this as well. So I just wondered if you could share with us what home means to you.
For the very starters, home for me means a second chance. It means finding a sense of belonging in the UK and being given sanctuary, being able to live my life as a transgender woman freely under the UK law as a protected characteristic and being able to change my ID documentation and not have that be a thing, being allowed to dress how I want and to express myself how I want and not be policed or told that I can't do certain things because of my gender identity. So home for me means all those things. A second chance, a place of belonging, a second chance to start again in this country that I have sought asylum in.
Great. And how does that feel? Can you give us a little bit more about the feeling of having that freedom that you've talked about?
It absolutely feels amazing. It feels incredibly so freeing, having to be able to do certain things that I wouldn't have been able to do before. Mm. And I am so grateful that I get to be in this space, have this conversation with you, access certain spaces that a lot of people can't be able to access. Yeah. So there is that privilege that I recognize that, you know, in this context, me having to call the UK home again, I mean, for the first time, it is something that is a privilege that a lot of trans people, black trans women, especially from countries that don't accept that, mm-hmm. are able to have. So I'm really grateful. There's a lot of gratuity.
Yeah.
That I feel.
Yeah.
And this just feeling of like everything is going to be okay.
Mm.
Things are going to work out. One day at a time. Baby steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you're also very passionate about, you know, these issues that affect people all over the world and situations in our world as well. And activism's a big part of who you are, isn't it? And
yes.
I wondered if you could talk to us just a little bit about why that is and what's important to you with that.
I think for me as a trans person, I learned from early on that, well, for my country, I wasn't able to access certain things. Healthcare was a nightmare. Accessing social services and basically social justice systems for trans people in my country was a nightmare. So I recognized early on that I had to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
I had to show up and I had to be an activist. So it was not something that was a choice for me. It was just something that I had to do as a necessity to actually live a decent life, just like any other person that's not transgender. So I have those kinds of humble beginnings within the activism space. I would say that right now, because I'm on the system, I'm an activist. I still attend LGBT groups. I'm still very active during Pride Week and all of that. But it's more sort of like taking an online sort of persona now, where I'm just like more active in online spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because I can't do certain things as an asylum seeker right now with my case pending.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I'm allowed to do only so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really passionate about minorities and speaking for them, because I know what it's like to be oppressed. I know what it's like to be denied your humanity. So I can recognize oppression in others that may manifest in a different form, whether it's in who you are, as a form of maybe like your religion or your race or things like that. I can recognize that and call that out. So me being an intersectional feminist is a reflection of that sort of recognition, that I want to be able to have conversations around all of these things and not sort of like single them out as like single issues, but see them as like an interconnected web of all of these things that exist connected, because all systems of oppressions are connected.
Yeah.
And oppression is intersectional. So
recognizing
that from humble beginnings, from when I came out, that was like one of the things that I wanted to do, just sort of like be in the spaces, rally people like me into human rights spaces, lobby for policy, lobby for changes. Coming from a country like mine, it could be very dangerous, because visibility, it can predispose you to dangerous situations.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to do things like ducking and just like, you know,
yeah,
be strategic about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I can see your passion already just coming out.
Yeah,
and I think it's interesting there you've said it's not a choice, because it's come from your lived experience. And obviously that brings with it a real level of understanding and empathy and, I don't know, I'm very much inspired by people who use their lived experience to support other people too, because, you know, what you must have been through and are still dealing with is heavy, I imagine.
Mm.
And to make the choice to use that in a way that supports other people, I think, is very admirable as well.
Yeah. There was a poem, I think it was written by one of the survivors of the Holocaust, and then it said, first they came for the, and then they came for the, and then they came for me, and there was no one left to defend me. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
So that poem is sort of encapsulate what you just said.
Okay.
That, you know, when you don't speak for others, one day there's not going to be anybody that's going to speak up for you.
I see.
And then
yeah.
When we don't speak up for others and we're just there and we're witnessing it, it's like we are saying that it's okay to actually, you know, for the status quo of oppression to continue.
Yeah.
You know, burying our head in the sand, you know,
ignoring.
Like, oh, it doesn't concern me.
Yeah.
You know, someday it's going to be you and there's not going to be anybody to step in for you. So that kind of sort of idea sort of arises
mm-hmm.
from me. A very strong sense of responsibility to speak up for myself and others, because I recognize that there are times where I can't speak up for myself and I need someone to stand up for me. And I've had those moments where no one stood up for me because they were afraid. So I like to imagine that other people are afraid, and in those circumstances, maybe I'm brave and I should do that. Yeah,
and it reminds us of how connected we all are, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're human beings at the end of the day. You know, asylum seeker or not, we're all human beings. And it is incredibly so sad that, you know, we have situations in the world where people are forced to leave their own countries, like myself, and come to another country. You know, I would like us not to, I mean, in an ideal world, I would like to, there to be peace everywhere, to have, for people to be allowed to be who they are and not fight or flee, you know. But that's not the world we're living in right now. And it is a call out for us, just mere mortals, mere human beings, citizens, to be good people, you know, stand up for one another, because we are all we have.
Yeah. That is such a strong point. So what are your hopes for the future then, Hazel? I know personally you've got aspirations regarding law. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I've been told this a lot. I have a strong sort of command sort of sense about me, and I think I do, not to toot my own horn, but I do want to become a solicitor one day. I want to become a lawyer, work with immigration. So because I already have a master's in public health and an undergraduate in criminology, I am thinking of getting into the graduate law program for 2 years. That would be sort of like a condensed law program. And then I'll be able to graduate after 2 years and get into that space.
Oh, that's really exciting. I really, I hope that really comes out to fruition for you soon.
I hope so too, because I'm willing to put everything in it, you know, seek all the help I can get. If there's anyone listening, help me out. Reach out and help. So,
great. And just to finish it off, any hopes and dreams for the future, maybe for, in a more general sense, maybe for our world, for us humans?
I honestly want there to be more compassion. I feel like, you know, the climate today, just like politically speaking, you know, it's just taking a term of like sort of like fascist directions, where people are very open and public about their disdain for other people and how other people are. You know, people don't like trans people, and they're able to say that openly, be like, no, you people are wrong, da 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 da. And people don't like asylum seekers. They don't like certain people because of, you know. So I would like there to be more compassion, you know. I think this is a call out for people to sort of look in within themselves and just see us as human beings. See other people who are different from you as human beings. They're not too different from you. You know, we breathe the same air, we bleed the same blood. You know, we're all the same. We're human beings. It's just that we're going through different circumstances in life. So I want there to be compassion in the world. No more wars. Just basically peace everywhere. I want there to be more due diligence, you know, when it comes to cases for LGBT persons in this country. As you know, especially who are going through the system, LGBT people. I want there to be more sensitivity in handling those kinds of cases. I mean, there's always room for improvement, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm so grateful that this country has opened, you know, its borders for me. And I studied here. I have an education from this country. So I think for me, it will be an easy transition. But for other people who don't speak the language, have to learn the language and integrate into the culture, it will be a very long road to integration. So I would like there to be more compassion for those people as well. When someone comes to you in the street and they're asking for direction and their English is not that good, please, please, please try to help them out. Be patient with them, because the thought of them having had fled their own countries, fleeing war and coming to this country and not be feeling welcomed, it can really take a toll on their mental health, you know, and just do their head in every single day. Just the dauntingness of it all, just the thought of it, having to just go out into the world and you can't even speak the language, but you're learning, you're trying to. So I want there to be more compassion from people.
Yeah, more compassion, more togetherness.
Absolutely.
We'll put that out into the universe.
Yeah, positive vibrations. You know, I feel like as human beings, that's like the one thing that separates us, like within the animal kingdom, like our capacity to feel compassion for other people, our humility, our respect for just humankind and human nature. So if these qualities were sort of put out there into practical terms and people were actually doing them, I think we would actually see a lot of problems that we're facing right now be solved by just like a simple act of kindness.
Yeah, I agree. It's got a lot of power, hasn't it? But we're in systems and cultures that maybe don't allow that to happen in the way we need it. But
I mean, we've come a long way since the 1800s and all of that. I like the fact that there's just so many of these conversations that people are having in different parts of the world, in different spaces, and more and more young people nowadays do not sort of care about who you are. They're just like, you know what, we're human beings.
Yeah.
They're taking more of like a sort of like a liberal approach into things. They're not as restrictive as the older generation when it comes to self-expression and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that with the sort of mentality of saying, you know what, you are a human being, you know? I may not understand you, but you are a human being and that's what's up. And I will respect that. And I think that's what we need, you know, for people to sort of see people as human beings.
Yeah. You know. Embrace our shared humanity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, thank you, Hazel. It's been really a short but very beautiful chat.
Yeah. I feel so honored to share my thoughts with the world. I wish we could talk some more, but
yeah, well, maybe we can again in the future. Absolutely. That'd be nice. Yeah, yeah, it would.
I would love that.
Yeah, keep me posted with how you're getting on with everything.
I will,
and maybe we can touch
that.
Base again. That would be really
Absolutely.
Lovely.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you, Hazel. Up next is Abdul Hamid, who was recently involved in a wonderful exhibition called My Name Is Not Asylum Seeker, hosted by Halifax Central Library and also showing in other places in West Yorkshire. The exhibition is about the everyday lives and experiences of people who have sought asylum here in the UK.
My name is not asylum seeker. I am a tree whose roots have been uprooted from homeland soil. Who wants to be planted in a new soil? My new soil is Society of Halifax. My roots are the social relations in Halifax. The relations provide me with love and belonging. So I am a love and life seeker. I am a fish who was hooked from the water. I am the one who searched for another planet, where I feel alive, safe and legal. So I am a new planet seeker.
Thank you very much for sharing your writing there from the exhibition. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about the exhibition My Name Is Not Asylum Seeker and what that means for you?
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Abdul Hamid Mahmoud. I am from Sudan. I attended that event, which is called My Name Is Not Asylum Seeker, just because people who come in the United Kingdom, they are not just searching for documents or asylum, but they are searching for new life, love, solidarity and belonging. And even more, they wanted to say, we are one world citizens. There is no English citizens and African citizens or Asian citizens. So they wanted the walls to fall. So that exhibition was about, we are not asylum seekers, we are normal citizens, like every English man or woman here.
Yeah, that you're human beings too, and remembering that we're all human beings who have the need to belong, the need to be loved, the need to not be in danger. Yeah.
Exactly. That was the reason why we participated in that event.
And what did it feel like to participate in it for you?
It was like, for me, it was heart-touching. I felt very happy, and so I expressed my right feelings, because to me, death is not to be drowned in the sea or to be taken to the grave, but death is to let that feeling unexpressed in me, inside me. That is the real death for me. So that event gave us the opportunity to express our feelings and give that feeling, strong feeling, out.
Yeah, express yourself and to be listened to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a voice of thousands of voiceless people, immigrants here, living here.
And as this episode and Refugee Week itself is themed around the word home, I wondered if you could tell me a little bit more about what a sense of home means to you.
Yeah, that I tried to express in just what I said, how I felt when I have been uprooted from my homeland soil. It was not like just a normal departure. It was like a tree that is pulled or uprooted from homeland soil. So that's why I said I am a tree. A tree that is uprooted from the homeland soil. And I said, a fish that is hooked from the water. So it is to let people know how painful is that. And it is immigrant life is just like that, searching for another new soil to be planted. And like politicians say, no, you are not, you will not be planted here. You will be uprooted again from the UK to somewhere else, maybe Rwanda or being so.
So, and it is that being forced to be uprooted. And then I imagine that there's no control over then where you can plant your soil. And does that really affect your sense of having home, whatever that means, like maybe belonging, maybe safety?
At the end of what I said is, I am a new planet seeker instead of asylum seeker, because people don't, to my own point of view, though, don't want to go back to Rwanda. But rather, it is better for them to search for new planet where they can feel safe and legal.
And so here at St. Augustine's, I know this has been a really important place for you and many, many people. So what is it? What does St. Augustine's offer you? What does it feel like here?
Yeah, it is a second home. Land. I think since I left my country for the first time that I felt home, and it's just like my homeland. This is St. Augustine's Center. In St. Augustine's Center, we are the immigrants made from all over the world and coexisted together. And we learn from each other, and we volunteered participated. People are very lovely, and we don't even know who is the immigrant and who is the staff, who is white, who is black. There is no such barriers, no walls inside St. Augustine Center. So I just wanted to call on all supporters to support St. Augustine's with money, with their time, with everything, so that they continue doing such a great job.
Yeah, it's a really special place, isn't it?
Very special place for me and for everybody, all immigrants here, even refugees who have gotten their status, they still come here to find life and love and everything. I think it's the best place for integration and to feel safe and legal. So thank you very much, St. Augustine's. They made us feel safe and legal. The only place that people can come to feel safe and legal.
Let's hope that maybe we can all learn something from here and we'll have more places where you can feel like that soon.
Hopefully, in the future. Yeah. Hopefully I find many St. Augustine's and the whole UK can become St. Augustine's.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. A place, a whole country full of compassionate people and community and integration and connection would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for being to voiceless people, to the immigrants, to let them speak out, reach out. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Next, we have Sofyan. Sofyan is a beautician and influencer who had his own business before coming to the UK, including a hugely successful following on social media and YouTube alongside his physical business. He is part of the LGBTQ community, and this has been a big part of his story so far. I enjoyed a wonderful chat with him about the theme of home and how this features in his life. Welcome, Sofyan. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
So can we just start with your thoughts around home? What does home mean to you?
To me, the meaning of home is the place or, you know, the house or the place or the environment where you feel safe, where you feel that you belong, where you feel like a human being. That's it. And this is the thing that here in the UK, like I always talk about, like I've never felt home like I do feel here.
Oh, so do you feel supported here and that you can be yourself?
Yes, I feel like I'm home more than I used to feel when I was in the place where I was born or where I had lived for a very long time. Just by being here, I feel like home. I feel with my people, with my family. I feel safe, I feel supported, and I just feel like a human being, as I said.
Oh, that's so important, and it makes me really happy to hear that.
Thank you so much. I'm happy as well. Thank you so much.
Great. And I know you've had challenges and struggles around feeling at home. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, maybe why you weren't feeling at home in the place you were born, or, you know, those sorts of things, and yeah, and what that's meant for you, if you're okay to share that.
Yeah, so the struggle with feeling home came with the fact that, like, of being a part of the LGBT community, mm-hmm. and where I was born or where I had lived before wasn't a place to accept me as a person just because of who I am. So I always struggled to just go out, live my life as a normal person, you know, to do things that everybody does in their life, you know, even like with school, with work, with, you know, basic things. That's really a thing I had struggled with before, where I was born or where I used to live. That's why I'm telling you, like, the feeling of home is something I feel while being here. So because I haven't felt that feeling before.
Yeah. So you feel now that you're here in the UK that you can be yourself, you can, you know, present yourself in the way that you are and not have to hide? Yeah. Would that be a way of describing it?
yeah, you don't have to hide, and you can live your life as a normal person. You can just wake up in the morning, go to the supermarket, and like nobody's looking at you, or nobody's like saying bad words to you, just because, I don't know, your voice is this way, or you walk this way, or I don't know, the way you look, or maybe they have seen you somewhere on social media, you know. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm so pleased to hear that you're finding that here in the UK. And in terms of processing that, that must be a very difficult thing to have experienced. And I wonder if there's anything. I know your work is very creative, and I met you through the creative writing group here at St. Augustine's. But I just wondered if there's been anything in your life that's really helped you process those very difficult experiences that you've had, and are also giving you, you know, newly found inspiration or support here in the UK. Is there anything that you'd kind of highlight around that?
So, as you mentioned, processing that was really, really difficult for me. So I didn't really realize how difficult it could be before arriving and starting my new life. But when I just got here, I started feeling like I lost my past. I lost I lost everything that I had worked really hard for in my life. I'm starting from scratch, and like my life is really difficult, and kind of lost hope. I don't see the light anymore.
Yeah.
So I really had to get some support, like mental health support, or to put all of that out in a creative way. And also because moving here, starting my life from scratch, as I said, I didn't have much to do. I didn't have friends and didn't have any access to other hobbies that I like to do, creative things. So, and here I'm involved in some activities like the creative writing that really helps me a lot to write in a good way about how I feel. And in a way that's like easy on me, it's not really that difficult as if I was like writing by myself. So it is really helpful. And we also have a fashion project that I'm involved in that will be in September, so we're working on it. And so many other creative things here at St. Augustine.
Great. So you feel like you're finding some creative avenues to sort of rebuild, would you say, rebuilding?
Yeah, step by step. Finding new interests, other creative activities to do, you know, to restart, or as you said, rebuild. And
find that home, build, you know, create home, I suppose. Would you say that that's what's happening?
Yeah, to make that feeling stronger, to, you know, make some connection, friends, and feel the belonging more.
Yes, yeah. And just to finish, I just wondered, just on that point, maybe what your hopes and dreams are for the future. Is there anything specific?
The only thing I want is just to continue my life, not start from scratch, to just, you know, continue what I had built before, to what I had worked for before, and do things that I love and feel like I'm with my family, with friends at home. That's the feeling that I really want so bad.
Brilliant. And I'm pleased to hear that you sound like you're on that journey of that being a reality here.
Yeah, trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to be there.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts on our podcast, because we really appreciate it. And I think this theme of home is important, isn't it? Good to talk about.
It is really important. It's something that I want to explain so bad, and sometimes I don't know how to just tell people that. Because sometimes I tell my friends, you know, I feel home now. I've never felt this before. And like, they start laughing, they don't get it. But like, you won't get it because you weren't in my situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really important to talk about it. And thank you so much for having me. It means a lot to me to be able to express myself and to talk.
Oh, it's our absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Sofia. And it's great to chat with you.
Thank you.
And finally, we have Hannah with a most beautiful and moving poem that she wrote with a fellow writer, Faith, called Home. Hannah is very proud of being an asylum seeker. She describes asylum seekers as dream achievers and freedom fighters. In her words, they are not victims, they are warriors. They fight the traumas, the fear, anxiety, stress, worry around acceptance and how they will be received, the rules and regulations.
She says they wear this as an anklet, not a chain, and she believes that one day they will be freed from the cage of rules and regulations, breaking the stigma of asylum seekers, feeling the freshness of the air beneath their wings.
A conversation between thoughts of fear, him, and reality and happiness, her. Home. Her. Home is where heart is, so I am told. It's where we share our laughter and where we shed our tears. Home is where the heart is, a place of warmth and light. Him. Home is an idea I easily carry and move around with, depending on where life throws me in at that moment. And that moment, home become a journey of 1,000 miles to the unknown, where no stench of death from wars. Her. It's where we find our purpose and where our soul take flight. Let us fly up high to the clouds of wisdom and touch the sky. Make this world a better place, a place called home. Him. This was it. I blamed. Home is finally here, but no. Here, home was the feeling of craving for acceptance, acceptance to belong. Her. Heal yourself and heal the world. Come hold my hand, praising our dreams, a place of dreams of hope built from bricks of love, prosperity and dignity. We are living, you, me and us. Him, but home become limbo. I waited for my status. I begin pitching tents. But this was not home either, they said. Home for you is Rwanda, they told, and they said. Her, holding his hand, smiling. Come and cherish this home and loved ones and hold them close each day. For home is where the heart is and it's where we long to stay. So let us be kind, for we never truly know struggles and the battles other undergo. For our human journey, we all need love and grace. Kissing his forehead, home is where heart is and it's where we long to stay. घर से निकले थे हम लेके कुछ ख्वाब, ढूंढने अपनी जिंदगी के जवाब. कहा सोचा था मुश्किल होगा इतना सफर, हर पल याद आएगा अपना वो घर, अपनों से दूर बिताए लम्हों के कैसे करेंगे हिसाब. घर से निकले थे हम लेके कुछ ख्वाब. Them together, holding hands in dignity and respect. Whenever in life we may roam, this is our place, our very own place, the place we call home. Our very own home.
It's time to wrap up another episode of Calder Navigation. And as we do, we want to express our gratitude for joining us on this journey through Calderdale's stories. We hope these conversations have moved you and reminded you of the power of human connection. Calder Navigation is part of the Welland Activator project, aimed at combating loneliness in Elland and Calderdale. A massive thank you to our funders, Calderdale Council, Culturedale, and Reaching Communities from the National Lottery Community Fund, empowering us to continue our mission of fostering connection and combating loneliness through projects like the Welland Activator. A big thank you to Untold Creative for production support too. Remember to subscribe to Calder Navigation on your podcast app, share it with others, and please leave us a review. Keep exploring and connecting. Until next time.